Good morning again to you. Good to see you. Thank you for being with us in our Sunday school hour. Thank the Lord for blessing us to be here for this Sunday school hour. I need you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 as we begin. And then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 as we kind of set the stage this morning. In studying for the the crucifixion of Christ and down to his resurrection, as I was reading some of the verses, a one word kept highlighting. It seemed like when I come across it, it just almost like a light would come on. And I kept, you know, just kind of popping up and popping up and popping up. So I don't know if the Lord's trying to tell me something or what, but anyway, I want to talk about that one word for a little while in a few of our lessons. But if you will, bow with us in a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our study today. Lord, again, as we do each time we stand to open your precious word, we thank you for it. But we also know in the natural state that we can comprehend nothing of your precious word. It is given to us by your precious Holy Spirit. It is the understanding of your precious word is given to us by your Holy Spirit. And today, Lord, we'd ask that you'd set us aside and that it might be thus saith the Lord. And you'd open our minds and our hearts to these verses that we study together this day. And may you be uplifted and glorified in what we study. And may it help us as we travel this journey of life, looking forward to the time that we'll be in your presence and spend eternity with you. Lord, we thank you for this body of believers. We thank you for Brother Billy and for the leadership. We thank you for drawing us together that we might enjoy the fellowship one with another. Ask your blessings on those who have the special needs. Lord, we ask that your will would be done. And it will be in each and every one of us's life, but make us acceptable to your precious will. Bless this time together now. Walk us through your precious word. Humble us down that you might be exalted. And let's let the precious word of God speak to us this day. In the name of Christ, in whom you have saved us by his marvelous grace, we do pray. Amen. I'm on one topic. I'm not going to have much to say about it right to start with. Then we're going to look at scriptures, and then we're going to come back and, Lord willing, and answer the question. What about soul sleep? We've heard that statement, you know, some denominations believe in soul sleep, and some don't. So let's address that and see what God's word says. So go with me to Corinthians, the second chapter. And then we want to go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, as we begin this morning. And then we're going all the way back to Genesis, chapter number 2, chapter number 3. And look at some things there as we begin to kind of set a foundation for our lesson today. Now, in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, verse number 6, therefore, Therefore, it's kind of like a but. Pay attention. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing. Notice the word. We have confidence, and we have that confidence in knowing that if we are at home in the body. Think about the word in there for just a moment. When you think about home, what do you think about? That's where you what? That's where you live. Home is the house you live in. So he said, we're in the body. It says we are at home in the body. And we are absent from who? So now, if those of us who are saved, what is the thing that separates us from God this morning? The house we live in. Think about that for just a moment. When you leave the house that you live in, where are you going to go? Look at the word. We're at home in the body. We are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, verse number 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord. So now, what about soul sleep? So let's begin to look at this. Now go with me over to 1 Corinthians. We've just looked at the resurrection of Christ and talked about the resurrection of Christ. I want to go to chapter number 15. I'm going to read verse number 6 to you. He says, after that, he was seen of above 500, next word, brethren. It's important. He was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. What's the next word? But what? But some are fallen asleep. But some are fallen asleep. Now, what does that mean? Okay, they died. So now, here is expressed in God's word that those, and notice it says brethren, and it says those brethren who saw Christ, 500 at one time, and some of those brethren at this time were still living, some of them had fallen asleep. Why did he not say they're dead? Why did he say they'd fallen asleep? Keep those things in mind. Now, I want us to go back and let's look in Genesis at our creation. And in looking at that, I want us to think about something as we do. So go all the way back to Genesis now. All the way back to chapter number 2. And let's look at a thing or two. And what we're going to do, I've hounded you with it so much, you could probably quote this without me even reading it to you. But I want us to look at a couple of points in this. Look at it in a way that I had never thought about it before. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Two things here that I want us to look at. When God formed man, what did he form him out of? Dust of the ground. Now, when he did the creation part of man, where did that come from? You look at the latter part of that verse. He's formed him from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became. And notice what he says he became. He became a living soul. Question. If God had not breathed the breath of life into that man, that dust that he's just formed, what would have happened to him? No life, none whatsoever. Just like a statue. So, the breath of life that God breathed in to the earthly man produced life for the body that God has just formed. Okay, are you following me? The body would have done nothing but stood as a statue unless God had provided something to bring life to that body. So he has brought the breath of life to that body. Now, in that perspective, what is going to sustain that body then from the time he breathed that breath of life in it forward? What's going to keep that body a living body? The breath of life that God has placed into that body. Now, question. At this point, when God does this, at this point, is Adam an eternal being? Sure he is. There is not but one thing that can cause Adam, and of course he's going to do the same thing with Eve, so let's put them both together. Eve was formed from a rib, which was created, or which was formed by the dust of the ground. Both of them had the breath of life breathed into them, and they both became a living soul. And both of them are an eternal soul and an eternal body at that point. But we know there's going to be some changes down the line. So let's look for just a moment at a few things as we think on this. Now, in chapter number 3 and verse number, well, let's go to 22 and 23. I don't really know where I want to go. I don't know which order I want to go. Yeah, let's just go to 3:19. We're good and go on with it. Okay. Now, we know that Satan comes into the picture. And when Satan comes into the picture, Adam and Eve yield to his lies. And what comes into the picture also. Now sin comes into the picture. And sin changes things without a doubt. And what does it change? See, now we have got Adam and Eve that are in, prior to Satan now, they're in a perfect body formed by God, a perfect soul breathed into their nostrils by God. And Satan comes along and it changed the perspective of those items. Now, in chapter number 19, we back up a little bit, go to 17. And he said unto Adam, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Next word, cursed. So here comes the cursed. And what is the curse? Curse is the ground. For thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, there's a little phrase in this particular verse. I've underlined it, but I never really looked at it in this degree. I want you to notice the last phrase in this verse. Thou shalt eat, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it. Next word. All the what? What have we just seen put in motion? There's now a timetable on man's life. He was eternal prior to sin. Now sin has come in play, and now there's a curse of sin, and the curse of sin has now put a timetable on man's life. And that's the reason we leave and read in God's Word that it is appointed that man does what? He dies. So here we go. He says, all the days of thy life, thorns and thistles shall bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now work to verse number 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shall thou return. Some key words in this verse I want you to pay attention to. Look at the latter part of this. He says you're going to sweat. You're going to work to earn your bread till thou return unto the what? Ground. Now notice that. When do we return to the ground? When we die. All right? Now, what happens to us when we return to the ground? He says, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. So what does the body do when it dies? It begins the decaying process, right? I never thought about this until I was looking at this. You see, I started out and I was going to do one little lesson on this real quick. And all of a sudden, just like the Lord said, you need to go back over and read Genesis a minute. There's something here. We have just talked about the creation of Adam and Eve. And with Adam and Eve, we talk about the physical body that's formed from the ground. But there's something eternal that comes from God. And what is that eternal that comes from God? That eternal is the breath of life. Now, you show me anywhere in this verse that I've just read to you that that eternal breath of life is the soul is going to return to the ground. It just says, dust you are. That was formed of the dust is what's going to return from the ground. And that was breathed into his nostrils and made him a living soul, that's the created part that God creates, the soul that God creates within us, and that is an eternal soul, and it will never die. Now remember, I asked you about soul sleep when we started, so you just keep putting all this together, okay? We're putting a puzzle together, so to speak. Now, if we go over to chapter number 3 and we go to verse number 22, see how God addresses this. Of course, we know in chapter number 21, he done the great blessing for Adam and Eve when the sacrifice was made and he brought them back into fellowship with him. And that's a whole other message too. But look at verse number 22. Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, notice the phrase, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, what are we talking about? That if he takes the tree of life, if they partake of the tree of life, what are we talking about? That we'll live forever. What state's Adam and Eve in at this point? In a body. So what's going to live forever if they partake of the tree of life? That body's going to live forever. And they're going to live in that sinful state, so to speak. You know, there's a lot of blessings in this world, but there's a whole lot of hard work goes on in this world, too. And he says it's going to be by the sweat of your brow. And that's the state they would have been in forever. But that's not God's plan. Christ says, it's my desire that you be what? Where I am. So God's plan is that those of us who've been saved by His marvelous grace are going to spend eternity with Him in heaven, not down here on the earth. And I want you to notice He says that they would live forever. Verse number 23 starts out with a therefore. And therefore is kind of like a but. He says, therefore the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. And here's a phrase I had never noticed before. To do what? To till the ground from whence he was taken. So you got dirt plowing dirt. So you go out there and till the ground that you've taken out of. So he drove out the man and he placed eastward of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turneth every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So that garden that he planted eastward in Eden, that he put Adam and Eve in and provided everything that they ever need for all eternity. They had eternal life. And God provided everything that they would ever need in that garden. And they yielded to the temptation of the devil, and it messed up that whole picture for them. Not only now is it you're going to work for your living, but you're going to age all the days of your life, he said. You're going to age, and then one day you're going to die. So we're going to have to address all that as we go along, too. So now we find that part of that man is eternal, and part of that man is going to go back to the dust of the ground. And the thing that's sustaining that physical body is that living soul that God's placed in it. And when that soul departs, then death takes place. Dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. So now let's look at a few things. Let's see if we can figure out what happens to the dust part of man, what happens to the soul, the created part of man. Okay? Let's go back over to John. I want to go to chapter number 5 in the book of John. And we will begin to try to put some things in place. In John chapter number 5 and verse number 28. He says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now that says all. And what does all mean? All means all. Okay? And it says that every individual that's ever been born and ever dies, one day is going to hear God's voice. He's going to call them back from the dead. Okay? And then he says, and shall come forth, they that have done good. Don't misinterpret that. Those who have been obedient to God, believed in Jesus Christ, God's Son, and been saved by His marvelous grace. That's what we're talking about there. He says, they that have done good unto the resurrection of what? Of life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of what? Damnation. So we got a resurrection of life, and we have a resurrection of damnation. So we have two resurrections. So we're talking about two different peoples. We're talking about those people that are saved and those people that are lost. But all of them are going to be a part of a resurrection sometime. There has never been an individual born. There is not an individual living today. There will never be an individual born after today that one day will not see death or, let me put an or there, or if you know Christ, be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Okay? And that's another thing that we want to try to discuss while we're looking at this too. So we find there's two resurrections and everybody's going to be involved in a resurrection. So let's go back over again into 1 Corinthians. And what I want to do in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, if you want to see the gospel in a nutshell, we can kind of give you the gospel in a nutshell here all of a sudden. Chapter number 15, and we're going to start with verse 1. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? Gospel. Okay? So what's Paul speaking? He's speaking the gospel here. I'm telling you the truth of the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand. Now, I hope that applies to every single solitary one of you that are sitting in here in this sanctuary this morning, to everyone that's listening over the means of the internet. I hope and pray. Now, notice when he starts this off, he says, moreover what? Brethren, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. He is speaking to those who are saved by the marvelous grace of God. And he said, I declare unto you the what? The gospel. What brought you to Christ? The gospel brings you to Christ through the work and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He says, which I preached unto you, which also you have done what? You have received it. And wherein you do what? You stand. That's what God told us in His precious word in Ephesians 6 chapter. He said, put on the whole armor of God. And He says, when you put on the whole armor of God, then do what? Stand. You know what we're doing today? We're not standing, we're running. That's the problem. We need to stand. He says, by which also you are what? Saved. If you keep in memory that I preached unto you, if you keep in memory that or what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in what? In vain. For I declare unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that? And here's the gospel. This is what I received. This is what I preach to you. And this is what we better be preaching if we're going to be preaching. This is better be what we're witnessing to if we're going to be witnessing. And he says, what did I deliver unto you? He said, that I received, I delivered to you, how that Christ died for our sins according to what? The Scriptures. If you want to know the plan of salvation, look at the Scriptures. And he says, and that he was buried, And that he arose again the third day, according to what? The scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. And after that, the verse I read to you about, above 500. A brother that won once, and a great part remaineth in today, and some of them will fall asleep. Then, he said, after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Then he goes on and says, I am the least. I am the least of the apostles. Now look at verse number 12. Well, I need to read all this. I don't need to skip this. I'm going to read it. Y'all bear with me. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And if you may inject this, I think that's the thorn in the flesh that Paul had, that he prayed. He could never get that out of his mind. God said, I can handle that. So he did. So he said, I was a mess. I persecuted the church. He says, but, there's that but, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now, I want you to notice something in this particular verse, and my time's fixing to be gone. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed on me, was not in vain. We all probably need to look at that statement standing in front of the mirror and think about the grace of God that had been bestowed on us. By Jesus Christ. And then ask ourselves the question as we look into that mirror, am I doing what Paul said? It's not in vain, but I labor more abundantly. Are we doing the work of Christ as he's asked us to do? Am I laboring for him? Am I really thankful for what he's done for me and that I'm willing to labor for him? He said, I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but what? The grace of God, which is in me. And you will not labor within yourselves, and I will not labor in myself. It will be because the precious grace and love and the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God embeds our hearts and our minds and puts our feet and our hands to work for him. And you won't do anything and I won't do anything to bring any glory and any praise and any honor and any pleasing to him unless it's done by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, whether I or they, so we preach, and so we believe. Now notice what he says, and I've got to close. He says, therefore, whether it were I, or I did it, or where they did it, we did what? We preached. And so you did what? And then they believed. And I'm going to have to stop. It's going to turn out to be a series, not a one message. God bless you and have a great one.